Deuteronomy chapter 30. Then we're going to go to Romans chapter 12. We're talking about faith. This is about our third week to talk about it. We're using some words interchangeably because I want you to get the full import of what we're talking about. If you've been around here for several years, we talk about faith, and we'll talk about faith for finances, faith for peace, faith for healing, faith for salvation, faith to receive the Holy Spirit. And we talk about singular faith for particular things. We're broadening this because we want you to have a well-rounded faith life. A well-rounded faith life. And faith is a way of life and a way of living. The Bible says we walk by faith, not by sight. The just shall live by faith. It says that several times in the Bible, Old Testament and New Testament. Faith is the way of life. Now, faith works by what? Faith works by what? No, it don't work. It comes by hearing. Faith works by what? Love. Faith works by love. Love and faith are equally important. And really, faith ought to be the launching, or love should be the launching pad for faith. Any kind of faith outside of love is not really faith. It's a substitute. Faith comes out of love. Comes out of the Word. But we're using some terms interchangeably here because we want to get this into your thinking. We're using faith, philosophy, and worldview. And let me explain that, because I realize that there is a difference in faith and philosophy, but there's some similarities too. Philosophy is a system of values by which one lives. A system of motivating concepts or principles. Well, what is faith? Faith is the same thing. Our faith should be the same thing. And then the word worldview refers to the framework of ideals and beliefs through which an individual interprets the world and interacts with it. This is your framework by which you interpret everything around you. See, we don't see things as they are, we see things as we are. And that can be messed up. Did you know that? If you're messed up, you're going to see everything through the eyes of that problem. And if you've ever seen anybody in a difficult situation, everything that they see through those eyes. We need to be able to perceive correctly, to see and perceive and discern correctly so that we make right decisions. And let me say this to you. There is a statement that is true and false. And that statement is God is in control. Now, there's a theology that teaches that everything that happens is God's will. Okay? I don't believe that. I think that there's some things that are God is in control of. He's in control of the ages. There are certain things that He did not put within the realm of grace, that He reserved things that He will do, but there are things that He put within the realms of men, and He expects us to be stewards of those things. And if we let that stewardship lay dormant, we can be defeated in our lives. And we need to know what God's in charge of and stay out of that. And we need to know what we're in charge of and invite God to be partners with us in that. You can make any kind of choice that you want to make. You can live your life the way that you choose to live your life. You have the ability to choose your life. You don't choose your consequences, but you choose your life. What we want to do as Christians, we want our faith life to line up with our design so that we can bring glory to God in every aspect of our lives. I want to get to the place that I don't have any compartments in my life. I want faith to permeate every part of my being. I want to live by faith. I want to think by faith. I want to act by faith. I want to walk by faith in every area of my life. Because faith is your life. Your worldview is your faith. Your philosophy of life is your faith. Faith is the thing that God gives us when we make Jesus Lord. So that is our worldview. Now, here's the thing that I want you to get into your thinking, because this is what we're referring to. This is the pattern that we're going to be using in this series. Thoughts become words. Words become action. Action becomes habit. Habit becomes character. And character becomes destiny. Who's in control of your destiny? You are. You say, I thought God was. No, you are. He has given you choice. Therefore, you are in control of your destiny. And if you're smart, you will invite God to lead your choices. He says in Deuteronomy chapter 30, this day I call heaven and earth as a witness against you that I have set before you life and death, blessing and curses. Now choose. There's that big word, the big C word. Choose. Choose life so that you and your children may live. If we will choose life, we will live. If we choose death, well, I'm not going to choose either. Then you just chose death. You have to choose life. You have to choose the way of life. You do have to make a choice. And no choice is a choice. It's the wrong choice. You know, I've heard parents say, I'm not going to teach my kids about God. I'm not going to impose my views on them because I want them to make up their own minds. That's the dumbest thing I've ever heard in all my life. Dumb. Excuse me for being rude. The world out there is trying to shape your children. Your greatest responsibility as a parent is to shape your children. It's to help them discover their shape, their bent, and to direct them into that area. If you don't, MTV will possess your children. There are things out there that will bring your children into their influence. You should be the main influencer in your children's lives. Hey, and we're here to help. We're here to help. Nancy's here to help. Joe's here to help. Mark's here to help. All the people that work with children are here to help to influence your children. Influence is an important thing because every one of us has the ability to choose. And we all make choices. And choices come from thoughts. Thoughts come from somewhere. I said thoughts come from somewhere. We're going to deal a whole lot with thoughts. And we spent all last week talking about what God said about thinking. Thinking is so important. You have to learn, okay, you have to learn how to think right. In fact, you have to practice thinking. You need to practice thinking. You need to practice thinking. So, well, I can think fine. You can think, but you don't always think right. Your mind gets bombarded with outside thoughts and outside influences. You have emotions sometimes that cause thoughts to come into your mind. And the design of those things is to control you. You know, Paul talked about casting down imaginations. He says, you know what? We are not ignorant of Satan's devices. And that word in the Greek is the word noema, which the ideal there is a thought that has an end result. It's a thought with an end result. It's a concept. Behind every thought, there's a concept. It's either a good concept or it's a bad concept. It's a positive or a negative. And God says, listen, I'm setting before you something that is awesome. It's called life. But because I've given you a choice, you can also choose death. You can have life and blessing or death and cursing. Choose life because it will not, and he goes on to say, so that you and your children may live. Let me say that another way. Because it will affect your life and it will affect the life of your family. Not only one generation, but several generations. Let me tell you something about good families. Let me tell you something about strong families. And this is what we need to come about. That's why we did the marriage conference. That's why we're doing men's fraternity. That's why, and we got some other things in the plan for the future. Because strong families are blessings. If you have not come from a strong family, you know exactly what I'm talking about. The influence of father, son, grandson, or grandfather, great-grandfather, you know, godliness in a family is a tremendous blessing. And the choices that we make today will affect our family. See, your greatest thing is influence. You say, well, I thought you were talking about faith. That is what I'm talking about. The way that you view life. The choices that you make. The concepts and the principles and the precepts that you embrace in your life. They create thoughts. That creates words. That creates actions. That creates habits. That creates character. That creates destiny. So if you're going to change your destiny, it starts with changing the way that you think. And God has given us a book full of thoughts. You will never comprehend all of the thoughts that God has in His book. It is a complete book of the way that He thinks. And how you see God, what role you see Him as, will determine how you relate towards God. If you think that God is out to get you, if you think that He is the one that makes you sick, that He's the one that kills people, He's the one that robs, then that will skew your view of God. But if you begin to understand that God is the blesser, that God is the redeemer, that God is the healer, that God is the one who gives us all things richly to enjoy, you'll see God differently. And your faith will be different. So it's not what you believe about one thing that's important. It's how you believe about the whole thing. We can bring that into the family. What do you think about marriage? Can you have faith? Does faith have anything to do with marriage? It has everything to do with marriage. God is the one who instituted marriage. He is the one that called it a sacred thing. He is the one that called it a covenant. When you understand covenant, you'll understand marriage different. Your whole attitude towards your relationship with your spouse will change. That is your faith. Kathy and I do not talk about getting divorced. You know why? I stood before God, before a minister. I vowed covenant to her and she to me. We have never talked about getting a divorce. Those words have never come out of our mouth. Why is that? Because my faith won't allow it. My faith won't allow it. My view of marriage is shaped by what God says about marriage. Now, if you've been through a divorce, I'm not condemning you at all. Okay? But what I'm saying is, if your thinking is wrong about it, your destiny can be wrong about it. If you see marriage as something that we try, and if it don't work out, we get a divorce, guess what? Your chances of getting a divorce are better. Does that have anything to do with faith? It has everything to do with faith. Everything in your life has to do with faith. The way that you do your job, the way that you view life, the way that you view people, the way that you view God, the way that you view the circumstances that come at you in life, everything has to do with your faith life. Faith is a way of life. Can you say amen? Is anybody here with me today? Okay. I want to talk a little bit about something that we mentioned the other day, and we call it your subconscious. Let me give you another word for it. It's your automatic response system. We do so much out of that system. There are so many of the decisions that we make in life that are made on a subconscious level. We have been programmed by our environment, by our upbringing, by many, many things. If you were raised in church, there are things that you believe today, and you don't even think about those things, you do those things. One thing that I don't ever think about anymore is tithing. You know why? Because I have a belief system about that. Kathy and I don't ever say, oh, are we going to tithe this week? No, it's something that we do. It's just something that we do every week. It's part of our automatic response system. It comes from our subconscious. We have done it for years. It has become a habit. It's part of our character. And it is shaping our destiny because it's part of our faith. But this automatic response system, we make a whole lot of decisions on a subconscious level. Now listen to me very carefully. Science calls these set points. Now here, let me give you an illustration of this. Take an airplane that's put on automatic pilot. And it's automated to fly at 30,000 feet. Did you know that you can take the stick and you can make that airplane go to 35,000 feet? Manually, you can make it go to that. What happens if you let go of the stick? It goes right back to 30,000 feet. Why? Because that's its set point. That's its automatic response system. We call it your default. You go back to your default. You can take that down to 25,000 feet. What happens when you let the stick go? It goes back up to 30,000 feet. Why? Because that's its set point. That's its set point. Another illustration. Have you ever seen these shows about people who win the lottery? They may win several million dollars, and within a few years, they're broke again. You know why? Their outside circumstance changed, but their set points didn't change. They had a poverty mentality, and they fell back to that level. Let me tell you something you could do in the world. We could take up all of the money in the world, and we could equally distribute it to every human being. And within a few years, the people who are rich now would be rich again, and the people who are poor would be poor. And a lot of it has to do with our set points. How we see life, how we see ourselves, the principles that guide our lives. There's a reason that a lot of people are wealthy. And a lot of it has to do with the principles that guide their lives, their automatic response system. Should we talk about dieting? I've been on diets several times. I have lost 30 pounds in a diet. And you diet and you diet and you lose 30 pounds and then you get off the diet and what happens? You gain it right back up. You know why? Because you might have changed something temporarily, but you didn't change your set points. Now one thing I'm working on this time, because I think I'm at 62 or 3 pounds that I've lost, but one thing that I'm trying to do is change the way that I think about food. I'm not on a diet. I'm changing the way that I live. I'm changing the way that I think about food, because what you think is what you say. What you say is what you do. What you do becomes a habit, good habit. It becomes part of your character, then it becomes part of your destiny. But if you don't change your set points, your inside. And this, let me give you a scriptural thing, and this is where we're going. It's called renewing your mind to the Word of God. Okay, but we use some natural illustrations to illustrate this. See, what we do is we set self-limiting points in our lives because of our environment many times. We cannot see ourselves as being successful. We cannot see ourselves as maintaining the right weight. We cannot see ourselves overcoming bad habits. We cannot see ourselves getting ahead in life. We cannot see ourselves being able to retire and to live comfortably. What is that? That self-limiting set points that drives our subconscious. So if you don't like where you are, guess what? You got to change the way that you think about certain things. And go back to the Word of God, because in it is the way of life. God covers those kinds of things. Let me tell you a story about Roger Bannister. Has anybody ever heard of Roger Bannister? You've probably heard of Roger Bannister. Roger Bannister is the first man who ever broke the 4-minute mile. 4-minute mile. They said, the experts said, that it couldn't be done. In fact, some of the medical experts at that time says for a man to run a 4-minute mile would be so hard on his body that it would damage his heart. Now, how many of you know that medical science is wonderful, but it doesn't know everything? There are some things they can't explain. Why people who should die overcome. And why some people who should overcome die. I mean, they don't know everything. Thank God for what they do know. But Roger Bannister began to train both physically and mentally. There were some mental things that he had to overcome to do this. And nobody in 9 years had set a new 1-mile record. And in 1954, for the first time, Roger Bannister broke the 4-minute mile. But I think it was like 0.04 of a second. 3:59.6 seconds that he broke the 4-minute mile. Did you know within just a few weeks that somebody else broke the 4-minute mile? And within a couple of years, over 300 people had broke the 4-minute mile. What was it? He changed the way that he thought about that. I think about athletics. You know, you look back years ago and you see certain records that people thought would never be broken. And now we see athletes that are training not only physically but also mentally, and we see a lot of those old records that are being broken. What is it? They're changing their self-limiting view of their world. They see that they are able to achieve certain things. What is it that's limiting your life? Where is it that you're messed up at? Where is it that you know that you need to make changes? Listen, we need to renew our minds to the Word of God so that we can overcome the self-imposed, self-limiting ideals that we have. Can I tell you something about God? He is a limitless God. Can I tell you something about the gospel that we serve? It is a limitless gospel. Can I tell you something about us? We have set limits in our lives. And we think, well, I could never do that. We see the early apostles and the things that they did. And we think, well, you know, that was good for them, but we could never do that. Do you see anywhere in the Bible that it says that we should be anything less than what they showed us and modeled for us? Do you see anything in the life of Jesus other than hanging on a cross where He said that we were limited in? Is it not He who said, all things are possible to him who believes? Who is it that sets the limits? We set the limits. And it starts by the way we think about things. I want to challenge you. Let's change the way that we think. Now, we need to think scripturally. If you don't understand about God, you need to understand about God. You need to understand who He is and what He does. You need to understand what He doesn't do. You need to understand what He's in control of and what you're in control of. And then you need to learn how to hook up with Him so that you can be an overcomer too. Now go with me to Romans. Oh, we don't have time to do this. We're going to take our time in this series. And we're going to talk about this a while. But Romans 12, 1 and 2. I want to read it to you quickly. And then we're going to close. Because I want to take some time to get into this. Because this is the scripture that sets this in that proves what I'm talking about. It says Romans 12, 2. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. That is a powerful scripture. See, as an unbeliever, you cannot achieve eternal things because you're spiritually dead. But when you make Jesus Lord, you become spiritually alive. But we still have a problem sometimes with our thought processes. Before you're born again, your spirit is in death and your mind is aligned with it and it thinks death. When you become a new creature in Christ Jesus, your heart is transformed. Your spirit, man, is made new. If any man is in Christ, he's a what? He's a new creation, something that never before existed. But guess what? Your mind still thinks the old thoughts. Now, there's some things in your mind that changes, but there's a lot of ways that we think that do not line up with our heart, with our spirits. And all that renewing your mind is synchronizing your mind and your thought processes to match the spirit that God put in you when you got born again. And it's a tremendous thing. And let me tell you, it is a lifelong process. This is not something that you just go to a seminar and all of a sudden you go up and they pray for you and you fall on the floor and get up and you go up and your mind's renewed. No, it is a day by day by day by day process. And I don't care how long you've been in Christ, there are still areas of your mind that needs to be renewed. There are different levels that you climb to in Christ. And you come up to the level of your understanding. But you come up to a lid. And as you begin to discover that, and God opens the door, guess what? It raises the lid, and you can achieve beyond what you've ever achieved before. Very few people have ever walked in the majority of their potential. Very few. We see some men who've done extraordinary things. We've seen some women who have done some extraordinary things that people said that they could not accomplish. Yeah, I think Mother Teresa is one of those. She did some phenomenal things about taking care of poor people. There are other people that we could name who have gone way beyond what they could naturally do unless they change the way that they think about certain things. See, when you begin to discover your purpose, when you start renewing your mind, you'll start seeing things about your future and your purpose and how unlimited you are where that is concerned. And it would be amazing what God could do through a yielded heart and a yielded life. We're going to pray in just a moment. I'm going to ask my prayer team to come up. Mark is going to come up and close the service. But I want you to really think about what we're talking about here. This is not just preaching. This is life. This is about changing your life. I don't know about you, but my life needs to be changed. You know, a few months ago I began to think, you know what, I'm getting old. Well, where'd that come from? 58 is not old. Unless you let it become old. And I changed my thinking. 58 is what it is. But it does not have to limit the way that I think, the way that I see the world. It does not have to limit my potential. I don't think I've reached my potential yet. I want to go out still reaching for my potential and what God has called me to do. Now, God's called you to do something different than He's called me to do. Now, He's called you to help me do this. But there are things in your life that God has called you to do. We need to go out doing what God has called us to do. Retirement is not an option. You may quit your job, but you never quit your ministry. Now, if you're here today and not made Jesus Lord, the first step that you need to make is to make Jesus Christ the Lord of your life. It's impossible to produce eternal things out of a dead spirit. You've got to be connected to the Lord. And the only way that you do that is accept what He did for you on Calvary's cross. His blood is the only thing that can cleanse your heart and cleanse your life and make you new. After that, then you begin the journey of renewing your mind and coming into the life that He has for you. But it starts with that. Whatever your need is today, there are those here to pray for you, whether it's to be saved, born again, whether you have physical needs you need prayer about, maybe you're hurting and you need somebody to just hug you and pray with you, whatever that is, when I get through praying this prayer, or as I begin praying this prayer, I want you to come. Father God, in Jesus' name, thank You for Your Word today. Thank You for the power of Your Word to transform our lives and our hearts. Lord God, don't shut down your heart right now. God is drawing some people here today and you thought, I need to, but, and you started shutting your heart down. Open your heart back up to God and let Him do something that He wants to do in your life today. Father God, work miracles in people's lives today. I praise You and I thank You in Jesus' name. Amen.